Okay, it's 6:04, and we're gonna call this meeting to order. Chairperson Vasquez.
Here.
Committee member Lauber.
Here.
Committee member Frederick. Committee member Flanagan.
Present.
Committee member Manning.
Here.
Committee member Morrell.
Here.
Committee member Kwan.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. Elijah, since the next item would be the public comment, we can either, if there's anybody online for public comment, we can take it. Otherwise, but is there also anybody at Village Hall?
No, I have not received any emails.
Okay.
Comment, and there are no members of the public here.
Okay. All right. Then let's go on with the next item would be the approval of the board meeting minutes that were distributed to everyone. And this is for our board meeting on our committee meeting on January the 12th. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion about the minutes? If not, can we have a roll call for approval? Elijah.
Committee member Lauber.
Approve.
Committee member Frederick.
Approve.
Committee member Flanagan.
Approve.
Committee member Manning.
I approve.
Committee member Morrell.
Approve.
Committee member Kwan.
Approve.
Chairperson Vasquez.
Approve. Thank you. The next item would be Dementia Friendly of River Forest. Lydia, if you want to provide an update real quick. Thank you.
There's not much of an update. We're still planning to do some sort of community-wide event for celebrating Seniors Week in May. But other than that, there hasn't been a lot of action.
Okay, thank you, Lydia. Regarding the age-friendly communities collaborative for the mayor's metropolitan caucus, just one brief update. We have been having some disconnect with AARP. Terry Warman was our contact, very good contact, not only for us, but for the MMC. When she retired, we were waiting for someone to be assigned. The new person was there, and somehow there was still a disconnect that they didn't see the role as involved or participatory as they have in the past. On January the 27th, we had a meeting with the higher ups at AARP as well as with MMC and Kathy Ducey, myself. We were able to at least bridge the gap with AARP. They are now going to be participating and providing assistance to us as well as the other municipalities regarding age-friendly research data initiatives like they used to. And so one of the things they're going to be sharing a portal so we can access information that we didn't have the last time. So more to come, but happy to hear and report that the AARP is back on target and providing us a little more assistance than just their website. So, okay. All right, then let's go into the old business. Let's see, I know the first item, the committee members survey tallying progress. I'm going to ask Elijah. I know we were all diligent in entering our hard copy information into the survey monkey. So, Elijah, where are we at today?
So, as of 5:45 p.m. today, 191 submissions total. So, it looks like everything has been inputted into the survey monkey system.
Terrific. Excellent. Everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you who participated in entering that information. This is great. All right. So then comes the next step in terms of update on surveys. Now that we have it on the SurveyMonkey, before we get to the scope of service, is there something that now that it's on there, meaning we can collect this information, do we want any preliminary tables and information? And if so, what would that be? And of course, it's not just restricted to requests for today, but something to start off with. And so I'm opening it up right now for that discussion.
I'd say to start frequencies, you know, just responses, frequencies and responses. That's just kind of bottom line stuff.
Okay. Anybody else? Dan?
Well, Jim had said that SurveyMonkey can provide some statistical analysis. And I think that it would probably be prudent for us to get that, whatever SurveyMonkey can give us, let's generate that now.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what it is. I don't remember.
Okay. Jim, was there, and we can sort of play with it too. Jim, is there something you thought that we can produce from this that you would like to see?
Well, we could take a stab at the basic descriptive analytics.
Okay.
You know, like Barbara had said, you know, that's not, okay. You know, okay. You know, now that we've got it done, we know, you know, I might not have all the data to write it up now, but we have it all here. So
okay then we'll do that. We'll produce at least the frequencies of the responses and the type of responses we got.
Has the actual data, has it all been downloaded to a computer safely?
Elijah?
I haven't gotten the chance to download it into spreadsheet format, but I can have that to you all by the end of the week.
Okay. And I think
that would mean that we could play around with it ourselves as long as we have it on an Excel spreadsheet. That'd be great.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Okay. And I think Dan was also, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, what he was referring to is downloading the information on another computer so we don't lose the data and we have like a backup system for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I was really asking.
Okay. I figured that's what you were, Dan, and I agree with you, but it led to this other topic, which is great. So that's great. So Elijah, if you can at least back it up today, tomorrow morning, so at least you have it somewhere else so you can download it so we have it. Okay. So then anything else relating to the survey itself? Because I do want to get to the scope of service. And I know Dan has to leave. No, before.
No, seven. I've been saved. University Park canceled our.
Oh, great. All right.
For the fourth time.
Okay. God. All right, then. Then I feel a little better. Not that I'm going to belabor this, but we can still talk about surveys. Go ahead.
I just want to say that it was really exciting seeing responses after spending so long putting it together.
Yes.
I thought it was so cool seeing it. It's a good survey. I think we're going to be really excited about this.
I have a question.
Sure.
When the sample was selected, was any effort made to make sure that the percentage of men and women were roughly what they are in River Forest?
Sarah is the one that might know more about that part of the process.
Yeah.
That's who I would go to, because that's where my mind went, was that, you know, other than age and zip code, we don't know a lot about the actual respondent.
Yeah.
Other than the frequency.
Yeah. And Lydia, were you saying something? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to intrude. I just was going to let you know if you did, you were muted. Okay. But we can follow. Elijah, can you follow up with Sarah on that? I know at least, I don't know if other people's experience has been, at least for the 25 that I had, I think there were majority were female. Even though they referred they were living with their spouse, it appeared from when they were identifying the gender, it was the female that were responding to the surveys.
I would concur.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a relief because 80% of mine were responded to by men.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Wow. You know, I had a few males, but most of them were women on my 25. So. Okay. All right. But we'll be able to, I mean, that will be identified as well on the, I guess, the Excel spreadsheet as well in terms of data.
How do we want to capture or analyze, and Lydia, maybe you're the best person to answer this question, the qualitative data that we got in the answers and the comments? Should we code it and try to come up with find some significance in what was said and who said it?
Themes. I mean, we could always, if it's downloaded into an Excel spreadsheet, I would imagine the comment section are their own cell. Yeah. And so I could just go through and do an open code just to see if there are any emergent themes. Okay. I don't know that
I saw emergent themes.
Yeah.
In the data entry. You know what I mean? We can talk about it, but I saw them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we could use those coupled with the quantitative findings, with the comments, if we wanted to do a focus group or a town hall or something later and invite people, we could use those themes as a method to creating that interview guide.
Okay. Because I did see that at least for the 25 that I had, most of the responses equated their comments to a particular question or a particular theme, like social participation or something along the lines that you can actually identify, at least, or narrow the comments based on those area sections or questions. I don't know if everybody else found the same thing.
Yeah, I'm much the same.
Okay.
You know, which is why I said, you know, they fell into a couple of different categories.
Sure.
And then there's some subsets from there where, you know, you have your disgruntled, angry, and you're extremely happy. Yeah. It's amazing to me to watch the remarks about Dressel's Hardware closing. And 50% of the people love the place and 50% of the people don't like the place. You know, and that's the way people are.
Yeah. So, okay. Any other observations or suggestions of where we should go with the survey or the Excel spreadsheet? And what I'm going to suggest too is maybe Elijah, if you can maybe you mentioned Friday, if you can download the Excel spreadsheet and send it to the full committee as people look at it, maybe if there's some tweaking or not tweaking of the information, but some way that you would like it to be presented in a different fashion, let us know if it's something we can do. But as Barbara indicated, maybe with the Excel spreadsheet, you guys can do that individually on your own or whatever. So I'll be flexible with that. But if you need something from us, meaning the village itself, and what we have, then please let us know as well. Okay. All right. Any other comments or? If not, go ahead, Dan.
I'd just like to ask Elijah if you could, you know, just do a little formatting on the spreadsheet so it's readable. Not just full of abbreviations that no one can understand, but, you know, make it readable. Don't be afraid to, you know, make the label cells look different than the data cells so we can read it more easily.
Yeah.
Make it user friendly.
Okay. That's a good point. Okay. All right. Any other comments or requests? Okay.
I have one question.
Sure.
I don't know what, you know, this paid for version is makes possible for analytics, but I know that you can, you know, generate a PDF of analytics that might be helpful to send along with Excel, because we don't really need to reinvent the wheel from what they've already done for it. So, and they do, you know, they do graphs as well as tables for it. And so that, that could be helpful too. Okay. To see, you know, if you're going to send the spreadsheet to send, just download, you know, I think you just have to click which analytics you want and it generates it, but I'm not, I don't know for this particular version of SurveyMonkey.
Yeah, I will definitely look into the different ways the data is displayed. So yeah.
Okay. And I guess Elijah, maybe once you do, depending on what the advantage, what the options are, maybe you take advantage of each of the options to be able to print it out so that we can all look at the data in different, I guess, formats. Maybe not formats is not the right word, but different ways of looking at the data. Because I think, you know, once you look at that, the information is all there. So you can probably print out graphs. You can probably print out the number of responses per each question. And how it breaks out by the options or the answers that were suggested. Like, for example, how many said disagree on a question, how many said agree in each of the categories, so to speak. And then what else options there are, I'm fine with that too.
Okay. So do you want me to provide an electronic Excel email to you all plus physical printed copies, or just an Excel file?
I would say an Excel plus a PDF of the analytics that they do.
Yeah.
You know, so we get the raw data, but we also get their processing of the data for whatever they do.
Okay.
Like that and send that to you.
Okay. All right. All right. Sounds good. And once you get it, of course, if there's some additional information you want to see that, or you want to see just for us to check what's there, then we'll be happy to look at that too. So not to worry. Okay. All right. All right, then let's get to the next item, which is the scope of services. I'm going to ask Elijah, can you pull up the document? I want to just thank Lydia and Barbara for working on that together and fine tuning it so that we sent it out to everybody. Everyone should have had an opportunity to look at it. Let me ask this before. I asked Elijah to be prepared to put it up on the screen. Do people want to do that, or do people have any questions or amendments or modifications? If everybody's okay with it, then okay, Dan?
Oh. I appreciate the work that went into this. But I'm going to freely admit, at the risk of seeming dumb, I can't figure out what the heck you're talking about in much of this. And it seems way more extensive than what we need. I mean, it struck me that the major thing we're looking for are cross tabulations. And a key thing is that we need to figure out, and if I may, can I share my screen and show you what I mean by cross tabulations?
Sure. Elijah, can you give, Dan, are you trying or no, you're not able to share?
I think I can.
Okay, perfect. Oh yes, great.
I'm losing everything here. Can you see the this page?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm talking about by cross tabulations, and this is just an example, not necessarily what we're doing, is you take a question and then you break down the analysis by some other factor. Like in this particular case, the largest sources of income, age groups. And the second one, it's by how the distance you want to commute and such. And I was thinking with ours, we'd be wanting to know with a number of the questions, particularly with questions about how long you plan to stay here, you might want to know those by marital status. You might want to, or living arrangement, you might want to know by age cohort, the age group people are in. A lot of the other questions, it really doesn't matter. I'm not quite sure that most of the questions, I don't think we really are looking at cross tabulation. So what concerns me is that I think this is getting way more extensive than what we need to look at, and the assistance that we need from a someone who really can manipulate the data to give us that sort of information. If you can explain in plain English what some of these things mean, maybe we're talking about the same thing. But I feel that this is the language of statisticians and such, and I really could use it translated into ordinary English so I could understand it.
Okay.
I realize the people getting the RFP will probably be statisticians who could understand this technical language, but we need to be able to understand it too.
Okay. And maybe you have an example. You've done a lot of this type of work and seem to have a pretty good handle on kind of what you want to see. Do you have something that we could use or that you could refer to that might be more clear to you, like that you've used in the past?
The last time we did this, I got in touch with a consultant out in Denver early on, and we just worked together verbally on the whole thing. And they produced for our survey, for the April survey, for example, they produced these sorts of cross tabulations. I mean, I think the key thing is we want someone skilled with whatever data program they want to use, and I don't really care what data program they use, to be able to break down answers to certain questions by a characteristic of the person that might very well make a difference in how they answer the question. So age may make a major difference in how they answer the questions about how long they want to continue to live in River Forest or in their house. Their living arrangement may make a major difference in how long people want to continue to live in River Forest, or their current living arrangement may, what's their relationship between that and what they want to live in the future?
Multiple questions along those same lines. You know, living arrangements by age, living arrangements by income, living arrangements by mobility, people's desire for mobility based on age, yeah, based on residence type. This is why, again, I think it goes beyond a little bit of the scope of normal. It's beyond my ability in Excel. I know that you got to get this into SPSS. You got to start to determine dependent, independent variables. You start to have to go question by question. You start to have to tease this out. And that's what I understand the consultant position description to say, more or less. You determine the program that you want to use. You determine the appropriate analytics. You determine based on the objectives that we've laid out. We can share what the objectives of the committee are. This is what we want to know. I think it does require a little bit more direction from the committee, no matter who analyzes the data, to help really say what's important to us, not have somebody look at stuff and just start spitting out analysis just to do so. You know,
see, we're agreeing again, Jim.
Well, then how do we, like, can we, is there some way we could, because in order to do that, I have to kind of get to a place where I can sit down, I can refer back to some, I haven't done some of this work in a long time. I don't do research as often as, say, Barbara or Lydia. We're doing it. But that's what we need to do, basically, is go through this and then start to, how does this relate to that? And, again, I think, as Barbara said, there's a lot of great stuff in there. Now that we've got all the data, we know what it looks like. We should start to say, okay, based on the objectives of the committee, what are the burning questions and what does it tell us? The basic descriptive analysis and statistical analysis that's done in SurveyMonkey might lead us in the right direction. It might start to show some patterns or you know, something significant. We'll have to see. You know, again, I'd be willing, it's not that long a survey, it looks long, but I'd be willing to try to go through it and maybe take a stab at a draft on what I, from my opinion, what we're looking at. And then again, other members can maybe take a look at it, kind of run through the same way. Say, hey, well, what let's ask this question, or I'm looking at it from this perspective. But we need a starting point. Otherwise, as a committee, we're going to have to go through the thing and start to really drill down to some of these variables, identify what they are. And, you know, again, I think a lot of it's decided by the criteria that we put into the survey. You know, those are the categories. And so it's just all got to be just organized and thoughtfully and consistently hammered out.
Okay. You know, I think this goes beyond this, in the reporting part, I think is going beyond what we're looking for. I don't think we're looking for presentations from the statisticians to stakeholders. That's our job. I think we're looking for the statisticians to give us the information we need to arrive at our well-informed conclusions of what the data is showing us. And we turn this into whatever reports we want and whatever presentations we want. But it's not, I don't think the idea was for the statisticians to be doing presentations or
we can strike the words and other stakeholders. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Both
on your reporting, the last three words and other stakeholders.
And then the visual representations for stakeholders. I mean, I
okay.
You know. Okay.
Okay. I'm kind of surprised at that. I don't understand hiring consultants and not having them submit a report at the end. I mean, that's just kind of pro forma, and he or she really should be doing that and should be fielding the questions from other people that they know what their methodology is. So I've never hired a consultant where they haven't submitted a report and made recommendations. I don't call that a consultant otherwise, I guess.
Well, they're not making recommendations on this. They're not.
Why not? I mean, we're using their expertise. It's up to us what we want to take. But I want to get as much expertise out of somebody as we're paying them for.
The only expertise we're getting out of them is the data manipulation. These consultants do not necessarily know anything about the substantive issues that we're dealing with.
If it's a good consultant, they better understand the data. They better. I mean, and that's why we have collaboration worked out throughout that. I mean, I don't see them as technicians. I really don't.
Okay, we're talking past each other. Let me see if I can be clearer. Because I don't know that we're contradicting each other, but maybe not.
Can I just step in and say, I don't think we ever intended to hire a consultant. We did intend to hire somebody that could do statistical analysis in SPSS and in a very defined role. And if Barbara, if you think we need to hire a consultant, because the people that we sought out so far or that we had on our list, one was a professor from Concordia that does SPSS work. The other was an individual that came and guested on our committee who's from Austin, who does in his work, does statistical analysis and has done community initiatives. So we had his name, but I don't know that we even have anybody else. Village River Forest might have somebody, but we were talking about a $500 or $700 budget here. I don't know what consultant that would work for that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Okay, I mean, I don't know how much they charge. I only know that the statisticians I know would not feel they were doing their job unless they understood the data and were asking the questions and understood how the data were gathered and what the questions were and what the goals were. I mean, that's kind of the integrity of statisticians who I know.
We're not disagreeing.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. I think we're just using different words. to communicate that we're hiring somebody who has expertise about how to analyze the data and provide us with a cogent written summation with their findings, how we can use the findings for our own work and our own reporting in a meaningful way. I don't think we're asking anybody to tell us how to generate an age-friendly report to give to the larger, to the village. That's not what we're saying. We're asking for somebody to analyze the data in a meaningful way and provide us with a written summation that we then can take and generate our own report with.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you this, it's going to cost a couple of $1,000s. It's not going to be $700, $900 if we're talking about getting any kind of a report.
Okay. All right. Then I'll look at that issue in terms of the cost of, we're talking about, you know, $2,000, $3,000. I mean, and give or take. I mean, I'm not worried about that. I just didn't want this blowing into $20,000 to $30,000 or something like that. That might be a bigger issue for the village. But if that's what we're talking about, it may be okay. But and this is just me, layman's terms. And, you know, Deb and I probably am looking at Deb too, because we're looking at, I'm guessing, the last time we talked, I think what I understood in layman's terms is that we were going to look at like the Excel spreadsheet and then see what the information is there. And then we were going to develop questions for the consultant to say, hey, this looks, based on this, we're interested in that or something along those lines, not necessarily restricting it, but at least looking at the data from our standpoint and this, and then maybe coming up with some direction of questions that we'd be interested in to provide the statistician, to give some direction as opposed to just giving him or her the Excel spreadsheet and says, okay, now tell us what it is. That's what I understood we were going to sort of do.
I'm going to regret volunteering to do this because I know it's going to take more time than I expect, but I'll go through the survey and mark it up to identify, to get us started.
Okay.
Those questions that likely would be, it'd be valuable to do cross tabulations on and try to identify the factors by which we do a cross tab.
Okay.
Because
I think we're all going to do that to various degrees and come back to each other and talk about it. I mean, I thought I heard Jim say it. I would like to. I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious what the data have to say.
I'm not talking about looking at the data yet. I'm talking about looking at the questions themselves to identify those that are worthy of doing cross tabs. Because there's some questions in there. It doesn't matter what your other answers are to other questions. Then there are others where it does make a difference as to likely a difference as to say what your age was or your living status. But some of them, it really doesn't make a difference. So I would want to ask someone, a consultant to do cross tabs with questions where it makes no difference. It's a waste of time and money. That's all. It's just a stab. I'll send it to Elijah to send everybody just to give you some idea what I'm talking about.
Okay. And then after Elijah sends out the Excel spreadsheet and PDF, everyone's obviously going to look at it. Everyone's going to see what's of interest. But my question now is, other than Dan, obviously is going to put something together and send it to us before the next meeting. My question to the rest is, do you want to also do something like that? Meaning each one of us, if we feel that this is what's interesting, I think from each independent, and then we put a general list together so that we can distribute that for everyone before the next meeting. And that's a question. Or is it easier just to come at the next meeting and then discuss it? Sometimes, you know, if you send information out and people don't understand it, it might be better to talk about it. But so I'm just asking one or the other. Should we agree, let's say in, I don't know, 2 weeks, whatever time people agree on, before the next board meeting to submit what their thoughts are and what we should be asking or looking at? Or, you know, this is just a general question.
2 weeks.
Okay.
Weeks.
All right.
I guess I would rather just talk about it at the next meeting than send it out ahead of time.
Okay. All right.
I think it's more like brainstorming that way, and I think it's more productive.
All right.
If we take a brainstorming mode.
Yes. No, and that I'm just asking so that I'm looking at you guys, the experts, since you've done this type of analysis before, what's the easier or the better way to do it? I'll go either way. And so for those of you who believe or can get their thoughts are submitted in 2 weeks, that'd be terrific. At least people will have that. And those of us who want to just think of all that and then raise it at the next meeting, that's fine too. I'm just trying to get us all together, so to speak. Okay. Does that make sense? Or, mm-hmm. Well, okay. All right. Yeah, so Dan, please send your stuff and anybody else after you get the Excel spreadsheet and the PDF, look at through whatever. And if you can submit what your thoughts are, what we ought to be looking at as possibilities, again, only for discussion purposes. If you submitted them, we're not going to say, oh my God, you know, too late, you can't talk about it or we're stuck on that. It's just to get the discussion going. That's all. Okay.
And so should we just hold off on the scope of work until we
get
more settled on that?
And that's a good question, Barbara. I almost thought that that's where we were heading, but let me throw that out. Does that look, I see Dan, I'm looking at Jim, Lydia, Barbara, I don't know what your thoughts are on that too. But it looks like, is that okay? Yeah, okay, all right. So yes, so again, this is a good start, so we're gonna keep it. And then well, people already have it in their package. So, and I know Jim, you talked about with Dan about deleting the language relating to the stakeholders. Elijah and I made a note of that, but we're probably just gonna wait till we have the further discussion at the next meeting. Okay, is that me? Okay. I have a feeling that once everybody looks at the data, this may slightly change in a different direction, only because of the observations of the data that you're gonna see, because it is quite interesting. At least for the 25 I saw. So I'm sure it's even better when you look at the whole thing, the whole picture. So, okay.
So what was our response rate?
Oh, God. Do you have, it was 49%. It was, I think, 49% from what I read.
We have, did you say we had 191 surveys submitted?
Yeah, 191.
191. How many were sent out?
335.
Well, that's lot more than a
49%.
What?
I'm sorry.
That's 57%.
Oh, that's even better. Okay.
Nice.
So it's maybe 57 or 59% than the 47. Okay. That's even better. Okay. And Elijah, maybe for the next meeting, or better yet, when you send an email out, can you give us the stats again? You know, I know 335 were the numbers that went out, 191, obviously. And then I think 17 that came back, return address unknown or something. And then of course, yeah. If you can get, you gave those numbers once before, so.
And when you say 335 and 17 came back, so you mean we actually had 318 good surveys sent out. That.
Well,
you would take out the ones that were returned.
They're out the ones that were returned. Yes.
Yeah. But so that means response rate was actually 60%.
Okay. You guys, okay. I was just trying to be truthful of how many in terms of the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, so. But you don't count the ones that couldn't have been never answered.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's why I say, Elijah, if you can just give us another 335. I went out 17. I think there were 17. Whatever the numbers were that came back, just give the numbers, and then we can just we can always do the percentages depending how we look at it. I just want everybody to have the actual figures of one. Okay. Okay.
I'll get that out.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Rez, going back to looking at the survey, I took a quick look at the survey and I realized just about every question could have different answers based on the age of people. Okay. So I hope that next time we'll think about which ones does it really make any difference if people were answer based on being a different age. I don't know. I just think it's something we could brainstorm on. Unless we want to have, you know, massive tables that give us the answers to every question by age.
And Dan, I'm not going to speak for the whole group, but I'm just remembering that I thought we wanted to have, we as in the collective committee, wanted to know whether, you know, what the viewpoints or trends would be depending on what your age was in terms of how close you were. For example, probably the 55-year-olds wouldn't see as important, and maybe that's not the right word, wouldn't see it as urgent about certain percent or how long they would live in the river forest versus other people who are there. And this is my only point is I think we were interested in the age group because that may be a little more telling in terms of where they're at based on their age. Am I wrong, guys? Or
you're right.
Okay, that's it. So that's why I'm. And if we decide now that after looking at the data, it really there's no significant difference or whatever, that's at least we have the data to look at and make that determination. So. Okay.
All right. Actually, Elijah, could you convey to Sarah? She did a very nice job with the SurveyMonkey survey.
Let her know.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yes, definitely. Thanks, Sarah. Okay. Any other comments or discussions on either the survey and or the scope of service and or the direction we're heading or what we still need to do for the next board meeting?
I actually have a question.
Sure.
Regarding, does anyone else remember, there was one question where they ranked what they would want to move to.
Oh, yeah.
And I had one person who didn't just do 1, 2, 3, but they did X, 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 four X's by four of them. I alerted Elijah to that. I did not fill that out on the survey, Mikey, because I don't see how you could do it. But did anybody else run into that?
You know, me, Dan, I ran into not that specific example. What I ran into is that some only responded to the one place they wanted. For example, if just one condominium or one townhome, they didn't rank them by three. Others ranked them 1 through 8. And then I had actually a couple who said, non-applicable. I don't care. I want to stay where I'm at now. But what I did though, because I knew there was a difference, what I did is I put in the information at the very end and I put question 60. That's why I remember that one. Question 60. And I noted there what the person said or ranked, whether it was 1, 2, or whether it was just one, or whether they, you know, because a couple said not applicable. So I don't know what that meant, but I just put that in there so that the information was captured in terms of at least trying to explain how that individual responded to 60. So in your case, if I was in your situation, Dan, I probably would have put question 60 at the very end and then say, that they just put an X on these three items and didn't rank them by 1 to 3. And that way, whoever's putting this, gathering this information, I don't know how they would relate to it, but at least they can say, you know, it is what it is. So that's, yeah, go ahead, or something.
What did you do when they just skipped it and didn't do it? I mean.
Good point. Some did skip the questions and that I didn't do anything, you know.
Right, okay.
I left it alone. I figured it'd be captured in the numbers. So you're going to see, I'm sure, you're going to see some of the questions are probably, hey, this one only got, hypothetically, this one only got 10
right, responses, right.
And this other one got 20. How is that? And that's yeah. because some answered it and some did not. So right, Barbara? Right.
I had something real similar, and it was really frustrating to me because it wasn't just one question. They did maybe like they skipped three of the middle pages, and it was the only African-American one that I had. Wow. And I mean, I don't know. Wow. I don't think survey data does missing data, missing data, and ties it to the specific case that it is. And so
no.
I don't know how we're going to factor that info in. That was frustrating. And I really didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like they just stopped. They filled in the last two pages.
Right.
Right.
Hmm.
Wow. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
And I would remind us or encourage us all to remember that hiring somebody who can deal with missing data and imputation of different yeah. aspects is, that's why we're bringing in an expert to help us manage. Oh, some wow.
Okay.
Will this expert only look at the spreadsheet or would they go through the actual surveys?
I think it depends on how we direct them, right? They may want to pick a few and look at them and, you know, see
right.
you know, how people responded. We have copies that we can share. So it's all de-identified, but I think it'll depend on, you know, the style, if you will, and the approach that the staff okay. want to take.
And I think that they're able to go into SurveyMonkey and see how many total
oh.
things each person answers so that they will know at least which okay. ones to go for missing data.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Barb, now that you mentioned that point, Elijah, do me one giant favor. When you download the Excel information as it is, and then create a new copy of that and make that one user-friendly. Because I'm assuming then if there's any changes, I don't know, I'm guessing from a statistician, maybe it makes a difference downloading it the way it is right from SurveyMonkey without making any modifications to it. Go ahead, Dan.
Could you just keep it all in one spreadsheet, just make a separate worksheet?
Okay.
You could name it user-friendly and you name the original, but keep it all in one spreadsheet. Use okay. multiple worksheets.
Okay. Good point. Any other thoughts and comments? Nope. Okay. All right then. So Elijah, you can send down send everybody the Excel spreadsheet PDF by maybe Friday, and then. Everybody, if you can look at it for 2 weeks, give whatever information you want for those of you who want any brief observations or suggestions of the direction. And then we'll obviously meet at the next meeting as well. So, okay. All right.
Great.
All right. If there are no other further comments or questions, then our next meeting is on March the 9th. At 6 o'clock. Okay. All right. And Helen, I hope I'm assuming if you had a questions or something to say, you would like not hit Elijah, but bring it to his attention. You know, I'm just remembering that with a phone number, since I don't see you, I tend to forget to make sure, or I can't check to see if you're raising your hand. So
yes, I'm sitting right next to Elijah. So
okay, all right, good.
I'm good.
All right, yeah. Terrific. Okay, thank you. All right,
thanks.
All right, then if there's nothing further, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, do I have second. A second? Okay, only because we're on Zoom during this time, I'm going to ask for a roll call. So Elijah, if you can take a roll call, just approve the motion to adjourn.
Chairperson Lauber.
Aye.
I'm sorry, committee member Lauber, I apologize.
No, it's all right. You promoted him.
Don't you dare.
I'm fine. Okay.
Long day.
You could just call us so many... Elijah Honest. You can just call us by our first names. You don't have to be formal and call us committee member or chairman, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I think because technically public record, you know, I kind of use the formalities.
Okay. All right. Up to you, Elijah. Okay.
Committee member Frederick.
Yes.
Committee member Flanagan.
Approved.
Committee member Manning.
Yes.
Committee member Murrow.
Yes.
Committee member Kwan.
Approved.
Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Okay, thank you so much. And looking forward to finally putting some meat to this information, which is great. So thank you all and good night. Have a good evening.
Thank you, everyone.